Hi, you're tuned to Truth News Radio Australia on the 23rd of May, 2015. Great pleasure to have you company today. My name's Hereward Fenton. And this show has been on the airwaves for a few years now. There's been some ups and downs, and I've had quite a few distractions and haven't been able to put the show out regularly over the last few months due to all the kind of pressures that sort of are inevitable when you try to do something like this on the smell of an oily rag in the face of a very, very difficult time in civilization. Because I believe that Western civilization is really, really in deep crisis. And by that, I do mean certain countries. I don't think the problem is necessarily global. The problem affects all countries, but the illness, the disease, the source of the canker that is affecting our civilization comes from the West, and we have to find a way through to recover what the goodness is in our civilization. If we don't, then this, what we've created, and this is something that goes back thousands of years, because there are a lot of fantastic ideas. There's a lot of greatness in what the West has brought to the world. I mean, the very concepts of democracy, the very concepts of you know, personal ownership and liberty that I know listeners to this show hold in great value. These are actually creations of the West, and I mean that in the broadest sense, but it is the West. These were not creations of the East. The East has done remarkable things too. The East has produced great religious memes, great philosophical inquiries into the nature of existence, which are all extremely valid and important. But the importance of the concept of freedom, of the freedom of the individual, of understanding that you are not owned, that you are not a slave, is under threat. It has been undermined from within our civilization. And there are people within our civilization, extremely rich, mega rich, super elites, who seriously believe that they have the right, the entitlement to be kind of like the lords of creation. And it sounds crazy, you know, it sounds wild and conspiratorial, but it's also very basically obvious when you just look at the structure of the world, you look at the concentration of power, you look at how, you know, 90% of the wealth is controlled by 5% of the people. You know, and then it's like a 0.01% that is like 90% of that 90%. You know, when as you approach the apex of the pyramid, the concentration of that power is alarming, to say the least. And we are, as a people, divided. And this is one thing I want to kind of run through today, is to explain my perspective and to maybe get some responses from anyone who's bothered to, you know, pull down my podcast and have a listen. I would love to get your ideas on this, because we are, as a people, we are divided in so many ways, and this this sense of division seems to facilitate the overarching control. And of course, this has been well explained. This is an ancient technique of power and control, is to keep people divided. And we should be aware of it. And many of us are aware of the concept, but we're not aware of how it actually impacts us directly. We seem to fall into a blind spot. And I want to kind of overview the way in which we are divided within Western society, along various lines, various threads of behavior, of motivational concepts that keep people channeled in directions that can never allow real change to occur. And as I was thinking about this and pondering on it, it occurred to me that there are two kind of broad sections of the society that we could describe. And I just want to kind of like give an overview of that by saying that within most Western societies, and this applies to countries like Australia, USA, Canada, most of Europe, and a few other countries around the world, there is a kind of a divide between people who are motivated, who are aware of the need to improve the world, who are alert to some level of challenge or problem or wrongness on Earth. And there is another kind of part of the society which is sort of in a trance-like kind of state that allow themselves to just be carried along and are not... Their immersion in a worldview makes it impossible for them to see the real conflicts and the real challenges and threats that face this world. So let's start by looking at that group that I see as being somewhat passive. But these are not people who are inactive in their lives, but they're somewhat passive in their response to life. And then we'll look at the people who are kind of active and committed, involved, but also divided. The most obvious and sweeping kind of mindset that is present in Western society can be described by words like consumerism and hedonism. And this is a deeply addictive, deeply absorbing kind of way of being in the world. People are absorbed by the kind of thrill they get from buying pretty things, shiny things, and the economy, society provides them endless opportunities to do that at increasingly higher and higher price, which gives them something to always be kind of yearning for, something that is always just out of reach. And of course, hedonism, just the pursuit of pleasure, the pursuit of enjoyment, whether that is through drugs or sex or just entertainment. I mean, these are all forms of addiction, and you could basically group that as really addiction in its broadest sense, because the need to be constantly entertained, the needs to be constantly stimulated, is an addiction, as much as the need to inject heroin is an addiction. Of course, the heroin addiction is more dangerous and will lead to possibly death in a shorter period of time, but the more generalized addiction to being entertained and stimulated and chasing after pretty things will also kill you over time too. It will kill your soul. And that's the most important thing to understand. It will lead you into being inert. And this is what I see with so many people in Australian society is their total immersion in these distracted forms of living makes them inert. They cannot defend. They cannot. This is a very important point to understand. Is that we as biological beings in this world face a lot of threats. There are a lot of challenges, there are a lot of dangers. But if you're in a state where your mind is zapped out by all the cravings and stimulus and the escapism of our society, you're not able to stand up and defend anything. And you're not even really aware of the threats that are facing you on all sides. So that is probably the most pervasive thing that I see going on in our society. And it's when you start to realize that there are real challenges, that there are real threats, this is the biggest obstacle, because you see people can't wake up. We talk about people being asleep. What they are is they're immersed in a dream world. They're immersed in a world where they're getting all these kind of stimulants. But there's more. There's more. There's a lot of people in our society who, although they're not addicted in a bad sense, they're still addicted to their lifestyles. And such people are often very healthy. They're often very motivated. And this is not an attempt to criticize or judge. I'm simply trying to understand why it is that we can't fix our problems. And what I see is that a lot of people are totally absorbed in their lifestyle, whether that involves something like a dietary philosophy, like veganism or vegetarianism or many different forms of diet, an exercise regime, whether that involves yoga or going to the gym or whatever. And again, all these things in themselves are terrific. But they become subtle forms of addiction as well. And they become, they absorb, and you become so immersed in that you don't see the forest for the trees. Or sometimes you just see the world purely in terms of that view. For example, with veganism, and I want to play a little clip to you today from a lady in Queensland who has a big following as a vegan. And a lot of people in the vegan camp actually see the solution to all the world's problems simply in people becoming vegan. And they just say, that's their whole universe, is like, the meat eaters are bad, and they need to be converted to the good way. But that's actually leading me into a whole other area of our society, which is those people who are somewhat activist, evangelical, committed, and see problems in our society. And when we come back from the break, I want to go through some of the sort of key examples of that, and then compare these two broad groups that I've defined to see, so we can understand that the nature of the way we are divided is actually rather complex.
Men and women of Earth, may I have your attention? This is Herewood Fenton, host of Truth News Radio Australia. You're invited to join the info war as we work to restore truth in media and challenge the dark forces which now dominate mainstream news. I'm calling on you, valued listener, to use your hard-earned dollars to help us smash the globalist empire. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe today.
Back here with Truth News Radio Australia, and I'm engaging today in a kind of reflective journey into try and understand why we are divided, why Western society is divided, and by doing so to help to understand how it is that our civilization is declining and is in such a bad state. I've been talking a little about the obsessions and the distractions that absorb people overwhelmingly in Western society. And these are states of mind, states of being that tend to keep people kind of passive, that they simply don't have any energy left to kind of engage with threats or problems or difficulties or challenges. That their lives are just totally consumed by their internal kind of quest. It's an individualist kind of viewpoint as well. But sometimes that can extend to the family, but it doesn't really go much beyond that. But I want to now talk about another sector, and a very, very important one, which of course defines so much of history. And this is the powerful causes, the motivations, the religions and the political views that drive people. And I'm just going to run through a few of them. Socialism, religious fundamentalism, feminism, environmentalism, animal rights activism, and even conspiratorialism. And of course, you know, there are many, many people in the West who are deeply passionate about these causes. And these passions drive them, and they're aware of problems. And again, much of what they're aware of is real, in the sense that that these problems do exist. They have identified something real. But the one-sided focus in a whole belief system based on certain perceptions, it leads to perpetuating conflict. It becomes intolerant fundamentally. It's intrinsically intolerant because they see the world in terms of this theory or this view or this religion. I mean, take socialism or Marxism. They see the world through the lens of the Marxist theory of history. And they cannot see the world otherwise. That leads them to basically reject all other viewpoints and to have no respect for people's religious views and perspectives. It leads them to see humanity as a kind of a project that people just have to be molded into following this kind of correct viewpoint. And of course, the same could be said of religious fundamentalism. It just, instead of deriving from like a theory developed by a guy in the 19th century, religious fundamentalism derives from ideas that come out of books that were written thousands of years ago and are then interpreted in a political sense to give people instructions and morality, and to give people something to fight against, to see the enemy, to see the problem in those who do not follow the true way, whether that be Christian fundamentalism or Islamic fundamentalism, or there are many other religious groups as well who engage in this type of behavior. Certainly, in Israel, we certainly see the political movement of Zionism, with its underpinning in Judaism, another example of that. But it doesn't end there, folks. It doesn't end there. And as I said, feminism has been a huge force in the last 40 years. And feminists tend to see the whole world in the perspective of one, maybe correct, insight that women have been oppressed, and that there has been this concentration of power in men. But then they see the whole world in those terms and reject other views or other ways of understanding things. And of course, environmentalism. another huge force in our society today, which grew over the latter half of the 20th century and really has a lot of the hallmarks of a religion. And I mean, in some cases, it's openly advocated as a type of religion, as a kind of a worship of a Mother Earth figure. And again, it leads to attitudes which are totally intolerant and basically seek to mold human behavior, to coerce human behavior for the greater good. And so, just coming back to where I started this show, where we were talking about two broad areas. See, there are two broad areas in our society, one of them being people's sort of passive absorption in the distractions or the lifestyles of society. Then there's people's absorption into fragmented political and religious movements. And that's why it's very difficult to make any progress. And I could pose a third group, and that could be the group of awakened observers, and those who see what is going on. And I might wish to put myself into that group, and possibly you might be in that group. And you, indeed, like me, have seen through all of the deceptions of all of these very kind of seductive viewpoints and philosophies and lifestyles and options that that exist. But you've stood back as an observer and you've said, well, that's all well and good, but they can't all be right, and because they directly conflict with each other. And they're not really compatible with each other as well. We've got a problem here. And that's when you start to really wake up. And one more thing I'd like to pull into this is the conspiratorialism, which, of course, is very, very rampant these days with genuine conspiracies all over the planet and evil ones, extreme nastiness going on with giant corporate cartels lying and exploiting, and governments lying and exploiting, starting wars based on false flag terrorism, people selling you things with the imprint of respectability to make you well that are actually making you sick, the obvious deceits in climate change and carbon taxes and so many of these things that are truly conspiratorial. But then conspiratorialism becomes a kind of an obsessive, unresolved kind of tendency to see this enemy in a shadowy elite that we can never reach, that seems to have their hand into everything. And although conspiratorialism contains a lot of truth, it can also easily become infiltrated with a lot of lies, a lot of disinformation. Because once you've kind of gone into the conspiratorial mindset, you sort of think, well, if they could do this, then they could do that. There's no limit to it. And then your mental integrity starts to become a bit degraded. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. I hope you're finding today's talk interesting. We're just going to break. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. And I would like to now actually play you a short clip from a lady who has a big following in Australia. She's got a YouTube channel and she does some appearances on television. And she is an advocate of the vegan lifestyle and particularly bananas. She's called the Banana Girl. And, you know, I think it's great that she loves bananas, and I've got absolutely nothing against it. But what I did notice with her and her followers is this kind of fanatical element. And I just noticed it, that they were quite fanatical and quite intolerant of anyone who doesn't follow their lifestyle, and they'll go on the attack against anyone who kind of like deviates, or you know, anyone who's been in their group who then leaves, that they'll go and attack them, and it has a lot of cultish features like that. But most people would say, well, look, it's just, you know, a harmless thing, it's a good lifestyle, there's nothing wrong with it. But, well, have a listen to this. Now, this YouTube clip was originally titled "Do Meat Eaters Deserve to Live?" And it generated such a furore on YouTube and on Facebook that I think she changed the name of the video. It's now just called "What Do You Think?" But indeed, the thesis that is presented by Freely, the Banana Girl, is that meat eaters should either be forced to become vegan or they should be exterminated. So here we go, and you can judge this for yourself. Here we go.
Hey, Fruit Bat. So I just woke up and I was thinking about something in bed, which I think about quite often, and that's where the people who continue to eat meat and dairy, even though they know the impact of their diet choices on the planet, on the animals, they've watched Earthlings, they know the facts, they've been educated, but they choose to continue eating animal products. Whether they actually deserve to continue living. And that might be like so extreme sounding to you, so dramatic, but I've got to break it to you. We live in an extreme dramatic world. There's a lot of going on. There's a lot of negative shit going on. And I know there's a lot of unicorn huggers out there, you unicorn huggers who are like, oh, Freely, you're so negative. You always focus on the negative. Oh, Freely, be more positive. Freely this, Freely that. Oh, my God, you know, you create your own reality, Freely. And you know what? I agree to a certain degree you create your own reality. But the slaughterhouses still exist. The fur farms still exist. They are still there regardless of you turning a blind eye to them and focusing on other things. They are still there. Animals are still having their fur ripped off their back. Animals are still having anal electrocution. They're still having their throats slit, their skulls crushed. That shit is still going on. And yes, it's negative, and we need to bring attention to it to make a positive change. That's what's positive about the focus of, you know, animal rights activists and people who actually give a shit about the planet and focus on these negative things to turn them into positives. So ignoring that stuff is not being positive. It's not being enlightened. It's just being ignorant. So it's important to make that distinction. And am I being too extreme? And yes, it does include family members of mine who actually continue eating meat and dairy, and I love them very much. But we are in this situation where drastic change needs to happen and people aren't taking it serious enough. And if their position on the planet was threatened because of their dietary choices, they would change to vegan in a heartbeat. That's the truth of the matter, because it's so easy to be vegan as well. And people kind of just treat it like, you know, it's just like a casual thing. Like anyone can, you know, you can make your choice. I'll make mine. Just mind your own business. You know, I'm sure you've had that sort of like comment as a vegan. Oh, I'm really like happy for you that you choose vegan. Good on you. That's fantastic. But no, I could never do it. It's like, you shouldn't have the choice. You should be forced to be vegan. You should absolutely be forced to be vegan. The situation the planet is in, we cannot wait for you to get your shit together. We cannot wait. The animals cannot wait. Yeah, so as you can see, I'm really passionate about this. And do I want to kill people? No, I don't want to kill people. And yes, I was in that situation before where I didn't know. I didn't know about the meat and dairy industry. No, I didn't have a clue. But I educated myself. So there's people who have educated themselves but are like, nah, I don't feel like doing it right now. I don't feel like doing it. You know, I've heard, I knew a vegan once and they were like, they were, you know, a little bit weak and they couldn't do this and that. And, you know, like, just some, you know, I knew a vegan once who had a child and the child had deficiencies or some shit, you know, like just looking for excuses. No, you should not have that option. You just got to step up, or you really don't deserve to live on this planet.
Okay, that was Freely the Banana Girl, who comes from Queensland and believes that meat eaters should be forced, presumably at gunpoint, to become vegan. And she said you should be forced and you should not have a choice. Now, but she says it's for the greater good, of course. And she says, look, it's easy to be a vegan. So, you know, you've got no excuse. And I think it's interesting to reflect on this because her fanatical, insane, deranged rant that you heard there is really not that different from the political platforms of major movements in the 20th century that have led to genocide and slaughter on a colossal scale. Of course, in this case, you can say, well, she's probably a girl with a personality disorder. No one's going to pay any attention to her, thank goodness. Actually, some people are paying attention to her, and that's why I'm bringing it up, is that she has a following, and her core group of hardened followers are cheering her. Most of the people, and many of the people who are actually vegans, have come out and in shock and outrage at what she said. But it doesn't change the fanatical core of followers. And this is, you know, I was talking about divisive aspects of our society. And this is just a beautiful example to understand. You see, these people who are immersed in this view of veganism, they see the world in these terms. They see all of the world's evil concentrated in the fact that animals are being tortured and exploited, and that supersedes all other concerns. And you know what? There are some elements of truth in the vegan viewpoint. I'm not a vegan myself, but of course animals are treated abominably in our farming system, and unnecessarily so, and it should be stopped. But there's also a fundamental flaw in Freely's concept of the world, in her understanding of planet Earth, as she says. And it is actually a delusion. She's living in a deluded state where she thinks that she's capable of leading this pure life that will remove the pain and suffering from these other beings. And again, you know, you'd say, well, this is just an extreme case. This has no real connection to other things. It does. It does, because all extreme viewpoints, whether they be religious fundamentalism or political extremism, always have this idea at their base that people, by adopting the path of the political extremists, will be able to live a pure and chaste life, that they will become good people. This is certainly the theme that we see from fascism, from communism, throughout the 20th century, and people have a yearning to be good people. People do have a yearning, and they also, people can be motivated, stimulated to see the evil in the world when it's focused, and when you have a charismatic person ranting at you, as Freely is doing, who focuses your attention with a like a laser beam precision on one aspect of the evil in our world. You can be activated by that, and you see that as being the key evil in the world, and you see your goodness deriving from expunging that evil. But it can also be completely misguided and wrong, as it is in this case. Because, of course, all organisms have to kill to survive. And this is where Freely the Banana Girl has lost her bananas, right? Because she doesn't seem to understand a basic fact of existence on this planet, which is that all organisms, in order to survive, must kill. It's an important realization to understand, and you cannot get away from it. There is no escape from it. That is what the cycle of life is all about. It is all about eating and being eaten. And I'm going to talk a little more about that when we come back from the break, because I think it's actually quite an important way in to understanding some of our problems.
Happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem reaction solution. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And I was just playing to you there in the last section the clip, the quite shocking clip there from Freely the Banana Girl, which certainly caused a lot of uproar in the Facebook world and on YouTube there with her extreme position. Advocating the essentially the extermination of meat eaters. But I wanted to just focus in on where she's got it wrong and why it's possible for someone to become as obsessed and fanatical based on a wrong assessment of what's going on in the world. Because we see it over and over again. It's happened over and over again in history. And what I'm trying to do with this show is to just bring our focus onto the real threats, away from the false threats. So let's just ponder for a minute this fundamental observation of life that in order to eat, you have to kill other beings. And whether it's plants or animals, other creatures are going to die as a result of your life. It's a really powerful realization to actually understand that. And I think so many idealistic viewpoints of life are a kind of an escape, an attempt to hide from certain basic realities like that. But I'm not claiming that that all religions are an escape from that as well. There's a lot of deep insights that have come from various religions deeply into this very thing. But when we talk about religion, I think we need to distinguish between religion as a kind of a fundamentalism, as an ism, as opposed to religion as a method of insight, as a spiritual path, because those two things are actually quite different. And when I was summarizing my examples of belief systems that kind of drive people in this world, and I brought up socialism and religious fundamentalism and animal rights activism, as you can see there from Freely, I should have also included atheism, because atheism is another extremely powerful belief system, which has been tied to socialism and communism, but in many cases it's also separate from that. The people who believe that that there is no God also believe that all of the evil of the world springs from the belief in God. And I just see an incredible thread here that allows us to see a commonality between all of these things that actually seem different. Because what is it? They're projecting the evil of the world into one observation. In the case of Freely, you know, she has correctly observed, and there are some documentaries that have highlighted this, and it is terrible that animals are being exploited. But then she projects all of the evils of the world into this one observation. And this, by virtue of this, folks, we become intolerant of others, we become separated from others, we become blind to other very important insights that are important, and we actually become putty in the hands of the truly dark overlords who are running our world. I mean, who are just basically, you know, controlling all the money, all the banks, all the governments, all the wealth of our society, and making us believe that it is only through their fiat currency that we can do things, buy things, trade. They have completely got us in their net. And we, meanwhile, are searching for answers in all these places, and in all these wrong places. I just find that fascinating, really, that it's come to this. Because if all of us understood where the threat lies, we could completely overturn the situation. These obsessive mindsets, whether they be in the groupthink of political activism, or the mindless trance of consumerism and hedonism and addiction and diet and exercise and yoga and all these things that people do, if we were free of those obsessions and simply looked at the world as it is, we could fix the situation very, very quickly. Now, I don't want to come across as being a fanatic here. And again, this is the trap that everyone falls into who goes down this path of, you know, making an observation. I'm making an observation here. And I could easily get quite fanatical about it and say, look, you know, the only answer is you've got to abandon all these things and you've got to follow this new way. But there is no way. I'm not putting forward a religion or a philosophy. It's a philosophical inquiry that I'm asking these questions, but it's basically just a conversation. And the conversation leads to people basically becoming aware of a lot of incorrect, you know, false views about the world. Now, on the theme of atheism and sort of militant atheism, I'd like to just play to you a very short clip of an interview with the actor Stephen Fry from the UK, who's a very militant atheist, you might say. And bear in mind, you know, he is actually presenting an observation about the evilness and wickedness of the world, which I think is actually quite correct. But I think that his answer to that is wrong. But let me just play it to you and you can have a think about it, because it's quite an interesting little tirade he goes on here.
Suppose what Oscar believed in as he died, in spite of your protestations, suppose it's all true, and you walk up to the pearly gates and you are confronted by God. What will Stephen Fry say to him, her, or it?
I will basically... what's known as theodicy, I think. I'll say, bone cancer in children? What's that about? How dare you? How dare you create a world in which there is such misery that is not our fault? It's not right. It's utterly, utterly evil. Why should I respect a capricious, mean-minded, stupid God who creates a world which is so full of injustice and pain? That's what I'd say.
And you think you're going to get in on that?
No, but I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to get in on his terms. They're wrong. Now, if I died and it was Pluto, Hades, and if it was the 12 Greek gods, then I would have more truck with it, because the Greeks were... they didn't pretend not to be human in their appetites and in their capriciousness and in their unreasonableness. They didn't present themselves as being all-seeing, all-wise, all-kind, all-beneficent. Because the God who created this universe, if it was created by God, is quite clearly a maniac. Utter maniac. Totally selfish. Totally. We have to spend our life on our knees thanking him? What kind of God would do that? Yes, the world is very splendid, but it also has in it insects whose whole life cycle is to burrow into the eyes of children and make them blind. They eat outwards from the eyes. Why? Why did you do that to us? You could easily have made a creation in which that didn't exist. It is simply not acceptable. So, you know, atheism is not just about not believing there is a, is not believing there's a God, but on the assumption that there is one, what kind of God is he? It's perfectly apparent that he is monstrous, utterly monstrous, and deserves no respect whatsoever. The moment you banish him, your life becomes simpler, purer, cleaner, more worth living, in my opinion.
Okay, now that that little speech, which I actually found simply by Googling atheist rant, because I was trying to find something that would exhibit the intensity that often lies behind people who have strong atheist views. This viewpoint expressed by Stephen Fry has a lot of truth in it. And, you know, he's observed the cruelty in our world, just as freely the Banana Girl has observed the cruelty in our world. Stephen Fry's position, along with atheists, is to reject the notion of God, thereby being free of the sort of the belief that that there is some governing being that made all this happen in its fine detail. But his belief is that is the true way, and that we must banish the perception of God, because when you get deeper into it with the atheist viewpoint, they believe that the belief in God actually perpetuates and creates more and more of this evil. But that they also believe that the belief in God is validating a sort of omnipotent, omniscient being who perpetuates endless evil in the world. Now, we are at the end of the hour, but I think there's something there to ponder, to understand why it is that people can't face the true evils of this world. I mean, of course, all these things exist. The insects burrowing people's eyes out, and sharks eating people, and, you know, lions and tigers gobbling animals up. It's all pretty shocking. But what I'm trying to highlight is that our society is being controlled by a parasitic elite. And I haven't really talked about it much during this show, but it's more important for our future to understand that parasitic predatory relationship. And in the next show, I may get into that in more detail. That's been Truth News Radio Australia for this week. I will be back next week with some more insight and analysis. See you then.